Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshick.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 30 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now today, I want to do another show on fixing a common technique fault in the squat, and that is the twisting squat. Now, if you're sitting in the car or walking the dog while listening to this podcast, and you're saying to yourself, it's about time he's talking about the squat fault, I twist all the time when I'm lifting heavy, then this is for you. I want you to visualize your squat for a moment and think about when does this twisting motion, when does this squat fault occur? Is it in the descent or is it in the ascent when you're rising from the squat? The reason that it's so important to figure out the timeline in which this fault occurs is because that's then going to dictate a different type of treatment plan to fix the issue. So let's start today with talking about why the twist would occur on the descent, on the lowering portion of the squat. This issue on the way down occurs often due to a mobility issue or a restriction in the ankle or the hip, and here's why. Envision for a second that you're about to squat with the barbell on your back. So as you got the bar on your back, you're descending down. Your knee needs to eventually move towards your toes and even past your toes depending on your anatomy or the type of lift you're performing. For example, a high bar back squat is going to require more knee over toe translation than, for example, a low bar back squat. But regardless of the type of squat you're doing, your knees need to translate forward as you descend into the squat to accommodate for your upright chest position in order to keep your body in balance. Now, your knees need to move forward symmetrically. So one knee cannot move forward a little bit and the other one move forward a lot. Your knees need to move forward the same amount as you descend. Now, let's say you have an ankle mobility restriction. Now, this could be either due to a ton of stiffness on the backside of your lower leg, due to muscles or fascia, or it could be on the front side, like that pinch sensation, a joint restriction. But either way, you have that stiffness only on one side. So as you squat down, one of your knees will eventually hit that end range and it cannot translate forward anymore. But if you continue to try to squat down, the other one, the one that does not have the mobility restriction, is still going to be moving forward. This imbalance in lower body movement will then create an entire shift of the body. Usually you're going to twist towards one side or the other because of a mobility restriction on one side. Now, let's discuss, how do you know if it's an ankle mobility restriction? Well, I've shared this a ton of times, so for those of you who listen a lot, this is going to sound very familiar. It's called the 5-inch wall test. You're just going to kneel 5 inches from a wall, and if you don't have a ruler with you, put your toes about a fist plus an extended thumb away from the wall. You're going to kneel down with your foot completely flat. See if you can drive your knee over your toes towards the wall. Can you touch your knee to the wall at that distance without your heel popping up? Now, I want you to do it on both sides because I want you to notice, is there a difference? Is one side maybe an inch from the wall, but the other side is 3 inches from the wall roughly? That imbalance is what we're looking for because the different side to side, the more significant that difference is, the more it's going to affect your ability to stay symmetrical as you squat down and have that good looking squat. The greater the imbalance, the easier it's going to be for your body to have to compensate, and one of those most common compensations is a twist of the entire body. So, did you find imbalance? If so, we can go about fixing it with either foam rolling, some stretching, some band and joint mobilizations. Those are all things that we've talked about in prior podcasts, prior social media posts. So there's a number of stuff on that. You can go on squatuniversity.com and check out, you know, how to improve my ankle mobility. I've got a lot of stuff on that. But you have to work on fixing that imbalance to restore that normalcy between both ankles so that you can squat all the way down. So, like I said, that's only one of the possibilities. What if it's coming from the hips? So let's talk about that. When you squat, you need a symmetrical amount, same side to side, amount of hip mobility, especially if we're talking about hip internal and external rotation. Now, a lot of times that external rotation, hip mobility, is sort of a buzzword that gets thrown around, but we also forget how important internal rotation mobility is. Now, let's talk about this. If you have limited hip internal rotation, either due to a soft tissue restriction, meaning you have some tight muscles or fascia, or a joint impingement, that pinch on the front side of your body will compensate by pushing into a more externally rotated position on that side in order to avoid the blockage. This means that you will likely shift or twist away from the restricted hip as you descend into the squat. Now, how do you know if you have limited hip internal rotation? Well, this is actually something we talked about last week in the podcast on piriformis syndrome and fixing that. This specific test requires a partner or friend. So if you don't have one with you, I'll show you how to talk about that after. But basically, all you're going to do is lay on the back. You are going to have your friend take your thigh. And we're going to do this on both sides. You're going to bring your thigh to about 60 degrees of hip flexion. Now, this means that your thigh will not point straight up and down like an L position with the rest of your torso. It's going to be a little bit below that. So once you're at 60 degrees, you're then going to rotate your foot in and out away from the midline of your body. Internal rotation is your ability to take your foot and rotate it out away from the midline of your body. So you're going to assess side to side. Now, you don't need a specific measuring tool if you're doing this at home. You're basically just looking for, do you have big differences side to side? And if you have a big difference in your ability to rotate one of your legs further out away from the midline of your body compared to the other, that means that you have limited internal rotation on one side that's significantly affecting your ability to squat symmetrically. Now, if you don't have a friend, you can just try this simple screen. Assume a bodyweight squat with your feet relatively straightforward. I'm talking like a 5 to 7 degree toe-out angle, which is not much at all. Squat down as deep as you can and don't let your feet move at all. Try to keep your feet firmly planted. What happens? Did you feel like a pinch or a block sensation in the front side of one of your hips? Did it feel like you needed to turn your toes out to alleviate that sensation, or that one toe just had to spin off to the side as you squatted down with that bodyweight squat setup? If so, that's telling you that you're likely having some mobility restriction in that internal versus external rotation on one hip compared to the other. Now, if this is you, there's a few different mobility exercises we can do to help fix the issue. If you felt that pinch or block sensation in the front side of the hip, that's usually significant of a joint restriction. So the way that your joint is actually moving and connecting and it's bumping up against the front side of your acetabulum, which is your hip socket, we can attempt to do some banded joint mobilizations to fix. Now, if you've never seen this before, check out my YouTube page or my blog, squatuniversity.com, and I've got some great examples that you can follow. If, however, it just feels stiff, we can try some stretches or active mobility drills to improve internal rotation, many of which, again, I've shared on social media and I've gotten my video and I've got on video on YouTube for some drills to help improve hip internal rotation. But there's a number of different things. It's hard to describe necessarily over a podcast, but you need to focus on hip internal rotation mobility. Now, let's talk about why you may start this twist on the ascent portion of your squat. This is a very different problem. So again, envision your squat for a second. If you have a video, go back, review it. When does your twist occur? If it happens on the ascent, let's now talk about how to fix that. If you're able to descend fully and get into a good bottom position, it feels good, it looks good, we can assume that you don't have a significant mobility restriction, because you got down into the deepest portion where you're going to have the best mobility to get down there. So if you can get down there, it looks good, it feels good, we're going to say, hey, off the start, it's probably not a mobility restriction. If, on the other hand, you start to twist on the way up, we can therefore think it's likely more of a strength or coordination issue that is presenting in one side of your body versus the other. One side of your body isn't producing the exact same amount of strength or stability as the other. Now, this imbalance could be caused by a few different weak links. The first is just pure hip extension. Now, last week in episode 28 of the podcast, I think it was, I shared a very simple screen called the single leg bridge test to help you evaluate whether or not your body is producing efficient hip extension. Now, what is hip extension? The movement of extending your hip where you are in a flexed position, so bottom of a squat, bottom of a deadlift, and it's straightening out. That's hip extension. So you need it not only for talking a squat, a deadlift, a clean pull, a snatch pull, a sprint down a track. You need hip extension, and you need it equally or efficiently being produced equally in both legs. Now, all you're going to do is land your back. You're going to bend one knee, straighten the other one out, and do a single leg bridge. Pick your butt off the ground that you're laying on. And then hold it there for a couple seconds, 5-10 seconds. And your job is to feel, evaluate what muscles are kicking on as the main driver of hip extension. What is burning the most as you're holding yourself up, basically? It's a good way to think about it. Now, most people, if you have an imbalance or you're not doing it correctly, you will feel your quads working. You will feel your hamstrings cramp. You will feel your low back cramp or to hurt a little bit. All of those are a fail of this screen. It's not a horrible thing if you do it. Think of it as a good thing. You just uncovered a prior invisible weak link imbalance that we can then fix. Ideally, you should feel your glutes working. And here's the thing too, you should feel them working equally hard on both sides because I want you to test on your right and on your left. If you do not feel your glutes working equally hard when you do the single leg bridge screen on each side, you just uncovered, like I said, a prior invisible imbalance that is leading to those compensations, the twisting, the shifting during the ascent portion of your squat. So, we just did the test. We found that we had this imbalance. What the heck do we do now? We have to start cleaning it up. The first step in cleaning up this problem is to warm up proper prior to squatting with different exercises like a bridge or a hip thruster. So you just had a problem in doing the single leg bridge on a single leg. Let's regress back to the double leg version. So lay on the ground, drive both heels into the ground. Remember, both knees are bent to the exact same position, and just drive your hips into the air. Squeeze your butt muscles as hard as you can. Drive your heels into the ground. You want to hold this for about 5-10 seconds. Again, if you are feeling your hamstrings cramp during this, bend your knees just a little bit more. Remember, this is the process of active insufficiency. We're shortening the hamstrings so they cannot contribute as much to hip extension. So we're placing more of the emphasis on doing the work on your glutes. Again, hold for 5-10 seconds. You're going to do this maybe 10 times, 15 times. If you're doing this correctly, your butt muscles should be on fire. You should be feeling those muscles fatigue. For right now, that's what we want to do prior to our training in order to get those muscles to kick on and work efficiently and symmetrically before we get under the bar. The last thing we want to do is load an improper or imbalanced movement pattern because that's just going to make things worse. Sure, you'll get stronger, but you're going to get stronger in the wrong way and in a poor movement pattern that's then going to eventually lead to injury. Right now, we're just talking about a pure movement problem, a technique fault. But if you have learned anything from me with the past couple podcasts or the past hundreds and thousands of posts that I've put out within the past couple years, poor technique, loaded, eventually turns into injury. So, double leg bridge, if you want to, put your back on a bench and do the bridge off that. That's more of a hip thruster exercise. It's going to be a little bit more difficult, but put a little bit more emphasis on those glutes. You can load this if you want. I'm sure some of you have heard of Brett Contreras. He puts out a lot of good social media posts, information on building the glutes, and he is a very big advocate of doing hip thrusters weighted. I have no problem doing that. But we need to get those glutes firing symmetrically. Eventually, if you want to, you can also do single leg bridges side to side and even weight those. I personally was dealing with an issue like this. I wasn't as much twisting as I was shifting. Last year, I was having a big problem where I actually developed some lateral hip pain on my right side. When I did the single leg bridge screen, I found that my right glute was not firing as efficiently as my left. I was feeling a little bit lower, more in my upper hamstring, I guess you would say. So what I did, I would do this hip thruster exercise. I did it in single leg. I put maybe a 45-pound dumbbell across my hips. Prior to working out, I would do sets of 5 to 10 reps for a 5-second hold, squeezing as hard as I could, driving my feet into the ground to get my glute to kick on. Eventually, once my glutes were kicking on, I did a couple double leg bridges to make sure I was firing symmetrically, and then I got under the barbell. So that's just my own personal experience with this. It works. It will get you back to doing that if you have a problem in getting those glutes to fire because of a hip extension imbalance. Now, another way in which your body could do this twisting on the ascent is if you're failing to produce symmetrical side-to-side hip external rotation torque. Now, let me explain. A few weeks ago in an earlier podcast, I'm not sure which episode it was, I did a show on the anatomy of the glute medius muscle. Now, this is the small muscle that lies on the side of your pelvis. According to many of your anatomy textbooks, or if you were in school, took anatomy class, you may have learned in school that this muscle is an abductor of the leg. So it kicks the leg away to the side in that side plane of motion. Well, that's not 100% correct. Now, while this muscle does help with that action, it actually is more so performed by the TFL muscle, abduction, the movement of abduction. So, you know, your glute medius actually performs an action that's very similar to your rotator cuff muscle of the shoulder. Now, many of you may be listening to this and saying, Aaron, how does one muscle of the hip act like the rotator cuff muscle? The rotator cuff is 4 small muscles. This is just one muscle. Well, you may be surprised that the glute medius is actually comprised of 3 different sections. It's not one pure muscle. And all 3 sections have a little bit of a different purpose or role or pull on the hip. And they work together, depending on how you're moving, to basically steer the femur in your hip socket to keep the joint centered. So therefore, its main action is not as much to be a mover. Unfortunately, you know, according to your anatomy textbook, where the glute medius is an abductor of the hip or lateral rotator, it's more of a stabilizer that's going to limit excessive or unwanted movement rather than a prime mover. That's not as much of its function in movement if we're talking about how the body's actually moving in real life. So if this muscle isn't working correctly, the leg can start to move in towards the midline of the body, especially when you're rising from a squat. This will present as either a shift towards that hip, whereas the thigh would then end up towards the midline of the body a little bit more, or you'll see sort of a knee collapse. So you'll get that internal rotation collapse. So you could do, you know, you could have that fault either way. Either way, both of these actions create or can create a twisting action of the rest of the body as a response to that problem going on at the pelvis. So testing for this is quite simple when you're doing it on your own. You don't need to go to a physical therapist or a chiropractor or a medical doctor to figure out, is it my glute medius? Let's just look at your video of you squatting. If you're squatting and from a front or back view, you see a twist happening where you're also seeing a shifting or a knee collapse, we probably need to work on the glute medius. Now, we can work to activate it with just some simple warm-ups, just like the hip extension. All you're going to do is put a band across your knees. Now, do you need an expensive band? No. Can you buy an expensive band? Sure. And really, there's a lot on the market nowadays, like the Mark Bell Hip Circle. There's a GymLogic one that I show a lot of times. You know, they're like $18 to $20. They're well worth the money. Put it around your knees and get into a deep bodyweight squat. You're going to squat down and think about jamming your knees out against the band resistance. Now, remember, don't just jam your knees out and just only think about your knees. What's happening at your feet? Because when you use the cue, drive the knees wide, it must always be coupled with keep your feet stable. it's very rarely that I will see a varus fault of a squat, which means that your knees are doing the exact opposite of a valgus collapse where the knees collapse in. A varus collapse would be the opposite way. It's very rare to see that if you keep your foot stable. If the foot stays firmly planted in the ground, the tripod foot, big toes jammed in the ground, you cannot jam your knee too far out to the side usually. Something else has to happen in compensation for that to happen. So foot is stable, knees driven out to the side against the band resistance. That tension to maintain that proper position of your knee in line with your foot happens and remains in that position because the glute medius is kicking on and stabilizing. Remember, it's not just pure movement. It's the ability to then, from that position, limit excessive or unwanted motion of the knee coming in. So that's that adduction, knee, thigh coming in towards the body, internal rotation, knee collapsing inwards. The glute medius is limiting those if it's kicking on correctly. Now, you're driving the knees out to the side, feet are in a good position. You're going to squat down, but you're going to maintain that same relative amount of tension of the knees driving out and remaining in line with the feet the entire squat. Squat all the way down. Sit in that bottom position. Feel for your glutes kicking on. Feet are jammed in the ground. Knees are jammed out to the side. We're sitting there. We're feeling our glutes kick on. They should start trembling a little bit maybe. You're going to rise a couple inches. You're going to hold it. You're going to sit down. You're going to rise a couple more inches. You're going to hold it. Couple seconds, rise a little bit. Do a couple rises where you are going just a couple inches higher and then holding it and feeling for those glutes symmetrically kicking on. You'll feel it if one side's not feeling like it's turning on like the other. This is where you fix those movement problems prior to getting under the bar. But eventually, you're going to feel both those glutes burning like crazy, moving symmetrically in a stable manner. Eventually, take that band off, put the barbell on your back, and get to some work. You're ready to start squatting that day. Remember, it's all about priming your body prior to loading it to move symmetrically, move the good technique, whether that's stability work, mobility work, what your body needs individually. Find it out, fix it, then let's get to working it so we can then lift some big weights because that's our end goal with training, right? So that is it for today's podcast. I hope you found the content valuable and were able to take something away from it to help you fix anything that you may find broken in your technique at this time or just help others who are having similar issues. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening to today's show. It really means a lot to me to have your guys' attention during this short amount of time. It would mean so much to me if you would continue sharing the show across social media. I love seeing you guys take screenshots from your phone, putting it in your Instagram story. Remember, if you do that, please tag me in at Squat University so I can personally reach out to you and say thank you. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and you crush your next workout. Until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.